I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. So today, Lori Knepp is joining me again, and we are going to discuss vocation, which comes from the word, I believe it's pronounced vocare in Latin, to call. And we think of vocal cords when we think of the voice and calling. And vocation is sometimes thought of in more of an official sense of ministry vocation. But vocation, of course, refers to anything that we consider meaningful work or our life's work or ministry and service. And really, vocation applies to each one of us, whether it's something that we're paid for or it's something we just really enjoy doing. And Lori and I both thought it would be really fun and interesting to talk a little bit more in depth about vocation. And that is something that winds up changing throughout our lives. And with different seasons in our lives, we wind up thinking about vocation differently, too. I know with as I was a young girl of about maybe nine, I went to a missionary conference, and I was like, oh, I think I want to be a missionary in Papua New Guinea, and maybe that's my vocation. And I gave that up in a couple months after realizing that missionary life was probably not for me. But I know that vocation is something that I continually think of when I wonder what should I be doing in my life. And I know that creating things is kind of a big thing for me. And even though how I create things changes, the passion I have to create things always stays the same. So Lori, what are some of your thoughts about vocation?
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of angst for Christ followers when it comes to vocation. What's God's will, and am I serving him in the best way? At least I can speak for myself. That has been a part of my journey, is feeling like I might miss a call for a vocation for my life. Am I spending my life in the best way? And I'm thinking a lot about these things, of course, lately, because I'm in between paid jobs, which can be a vocation. I felt like my previous job, working with Midday Connection, a radio program for women, when that ended, I really questioned what do I believe vocation is? And if I work as a house cleaner, is that any less than being on the radio, speaking to thousands of people? Is that really less? And, you know, I can look at other people's lives and what they do and how they invest their time, and I can say, absolutely, do it to the glory of God, and you are doing the best thing possible with your life. But somehow with myself, I had a hard time embracing that, and I still do, frankly. I'm still wrestling with this, and I wrestle with the concept of do what you love, love what you do. And I feel like that's an awfully privileged statement. And there's a lot of people who are cleaning toilets for the glory of God, but I wonder if they can really say, yeah, I love what I do, and you know, I'm living my life to the fullest. Maybe they can, maybe some can. I just know for myself, I would have a hard time looking at that or hearing that statement, do what you love, love what you do, and feeling like that's even possible. So I don't know. I'm thinking about this balance. For me, this is about a paid job, because that's where I'm traveling these days. I'm trying to sort out those sorts of questions. Am I squandering any gifts that God has given me if I take a job that doesn't really fit me well, or how I feel like I'm wired, or how God has equipped me? Is that less than, Or am I called to really live out my gifts outside of a paying job? And I think that would be wonderful too. You know, what kind of got me going down this line of thinking was Barbara Brown Taylor's book, An Altar in the World. And she talks about paid work that people do does not always feed their hearts. Our vocations may turn out to be things we do for free. And so I underlined that and starred that in the book because I'm really beginning to think about that. Yeah. And I don't know what I think yet because I'm still holding on to this hope that my paying job could really feed my heart.
Right. Yeah. And I think that it can be steps across a stream and stepping stones across a stream, because I knew for myself, like I mentioned, that I feel like I've been a creative person for my entire life. I remember writing little poems when I was like 7 years old. And after I wrote little haikus and poems and things, realizing what a haiku was for the first time and then whipping a few out and feeling like a genius or something, I thought, this is great. I made something out of thin air, you know, and then thinking, this is fun. I can make something where nothing was before, you know. Yeah. And feeling like, I can draw something where nothing was before. And just whether it was writing, drawing, I went to school for graphic design in my undergraduate, whether it was creating a paper or a book or a website or now a podcast, I have always thought I can think something in my head and then produce something that other people can see or understand or hear. That is just joy. And I wanted to do this creation stuff so much that now I drive school kids 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon just to fund my passion, which I feel like is a vocation, you know. But it's worth it because this brings me so much joy. And maybe I'll do that for a year, or maybe I'll do that for 2 years. And it probably is a stepping stone till it pays for itself somehow. But like, to me, it's like just another step on the way to somewhere. But I don't know, because it's a turn in the road, you know, like I can't see around that turn.
Yeah.
But it's still worth it because of the passion in my heart. Like I sense God's joy in it. You know, and so when you feel that spark, I think that's what my director told me, and that's part of the spiritual exercises that we had talked about before, is that when you know, you can kind of sense, oh wow, this is, you know, it doesn't totally 100% make sense. It's like an intuitive, like, you can just kind of sense it in your intuition. This, not everybody's gonna go, oh wow, you have a master's degree where you got 56 credits in spiritual formation and you're driving 4 children to school. So you can make $150 a week. That makes perfect sense. Probably not. It's not going to make sense on paper, but I know that I can cover my costs and do this and speak to people I really love and enjoy. And maybe people benefit from it. And I think of it as a stepping stone in this across the stream to get somewhere else possibly. So, you know, there, some of those points kind of like, it's vocational. It fits in that category. And I don't think the story's over yet. I think it's a chapter in the story. Yeah. And I think that's maybe where, as people are figuring out, what does vocation look like right now? It has a lot to do with passions and desires.
Yes.
And categories of what does that look like? For some people, it's service. And a lot of things in service pay almost nothing or next to nothing. And I don't know if you know, in ministry especially, like I know a lot of people in social work, or, you know, they're working in a homeless shelter, or they're working in some sort of social services, hospice or chaplaincy, those are volunteer jobs, a lot of them. And a lot of people will tell you, like there was a friend of mine who's working in hospice care and she was with people when they died. Well, a lot of people will tell you they could never do that. But the people who do it will tell you it's extremely rewarding, difficult, but very rewarding. Well, it's volunteer work. And that's a hard job, but it's also a precious, like it can be very, very much a calling. And you're with people in their most intimate, most vulnerable time. And so, wow, you know, it's like, if it's your calling, you'll find a way to make it work.
Right. I think I was thinking, I'm working part-time at a clothing store these days, just to kind of get out of my head and just be in a different sort of environment for a little bit. It's just a short term sort of job. But one day I was wringing out a customer, folding up their clothes and bagging them, and they were really unkind and difficult. And I just paused for a second and I was like, God, how did I end up here? Like this person who's reaming me out has no idea of my history. Who I am. They don't care. And it's like, you know, I can see like pursuing a passion and doing all it takes to pursue a passion. But some people don't have, I don't know that they have that option necessarily. I don't know. I could very well be wrong on this point, but I feel like sometimes we just need to do a job to get a paycheck.
Right.
And while I, at this time, I don't have to work at this clothing store. I think it's good for me to have routine and get out of the house. And so I see there's really good redeeming things. But a lot of my coworkers, this is their second or third job of the day, and they're just trying to get by. And this isn't necessarily their passion. So I don't know. I think I'm sitting with this, and I'm wondering, like, where is God in this? And does he direct people in different ways where some people just really super need to be in a job and a vocation that is life-giving and they're really passionate about? And for other people, they can work in a vocation that doesn't necessarily feed their soul, but they find ways outside of that feeds their soul.
That's a good question.
And I feel like I'm someone who really needs to work in a job that feeds my soul.
You mean a paid job that feeds your soul?
A paying job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm just wondering if I'm sitting with just a lot of questions with God about that. Like, is he going to do that for me? Or, you know, or is that up to me to create? Or I don't know. There's just a lot of questions that are not easy to answer when it comes to job and vocation, for me anyway. And maybe I am laboring too hard at this.
Well, what do you find meaningful in work? Like what makes work meaningful for you?
It needs to serve a greater purpose, something that's helping people and improving their lives in some way, especially if it's their soul. I love getting behind a cause that I really believe in, and I can put a lot of energy into that. So I think with my last job, that really fit very well. And I went to the eye doctor the other day, and my eye doctor is a Sikh gentleman. I don't know if you know very much about the Sikhs.
Not too much. Do you? You can tell me.
Well, I had to look it up, actually, to be honest. I don't know very much. But anyway, he wears a turban. He doesn't cut his hair. They have a bracelet that they always wear, and, you know, a couple of their elements that are sacred to them. But they basically pursue the fruits of the spirit. You know, they call them different things, but you know, faith, hope, love, joy, peace, patience, and they live an honest life. And anyway, that's just a background to who he is. And he was a delightful man to talk to. But he asked me what I did for a living, and I told him I was in between jobs. And he said, "Oh yeah, it's just like riding a wave on a surfboard. You just know you gotta enjoy the ride, and know that it's gonna end.
Oh, wow.
You know, and just look for that next wave. Oh. And you just have to trust the next wave's gonna come, because it will come." Mm-hmm. And I've been sitting with that, and I thought that's actually, I mean, it's simple, but I thought it was pretty wise.
Yeah,
but yeah, why did this blindside me so much?
Well, what was it like? Yeah. Because he's describing it like a force of nature that you can't really fight. You're just kind of going with it, right? And
And that this is a natural process of being human, is that, yeah, the only constant is there will be change, and we can count on that. And yeah, I think for myself, I can be lulled into complacency where I am, or just feeling really a little too comfortable and stable where I am. Not that I always have to be on high alert for, oh, what's next and all that. But I think that's just being wise, is just knowing that, yeah, this could end, and but also trusting that God will lead afterwards. Mm. So I think I'm in that. God is teaching me a lot about trusting him and what that looks like, and my view of him in this time, in this in-between time.
Yeah.
And my view of myself as a human, you know, what does that look like for me to use my minutes in this life that he's given me? And
that is really fascinating. By the time this episode comes out, another one will have already come out on December 18th with Jennifer Michael Hecht. She's an atheist philosopher, and we had a remarkable conversation. I have to tell you, she's writing a book called The Wonder Paradox, and she's from a Jewish background, but when she was 12, she decided she was an atheist, which is, it's a whole interesting thing in itself. But what we wound up getting into this conversation, and she's a poet too, so she has a lot of appreciation for science and like the universe and the expanse of the universe and the complexity. And she's describing the amazingness of the universe, which of course I'm completely intrigued and blown away and everything. Like, I'm a really easy, like, yeah, I'm kind of like, whoa, you know, I'm definitely, I'm all there. I mean, it takes zero convincing. I'm completely blown away. And she's telling me all this, and it is indeed wonderful. And she starts talking about consciousness, and that, you know, how she described it, of course, she's describing it in terms of there being no God, of course, from her perspective, the universe acknowledging itself and marveling or something like that. But the whole point of consciousness is amazing. I mean, if you're thinking about yourself thinking, and you're thinking about the immensity of the universe, and just being able to comprehend your situation, for better or worse, just being able to comprehend it at all, and comprehending the future, comprehending that your situation could improve, or just being able to conceptualize that, and being able to conceptualize that you can conceptualize. I mean, it is really, really remarkable. We were kind of having a little bit of a, wow, you know, we were just kind of doing a lot of that, you know. And I was thinking, you know, people who can appreciate that have a lot in common. And just like your doctor friend and you, you know, there's a lot of similarities there with people who can appreciate something that's going on in life that's bigger, that we're a part of, and that we're going to feel anxious and uneasy about certain parts of it for sure, and we're not going to have it figured out and wonder, God, what are you up to and what's happening to me and stuff. But if there's any part of us that can a little bit step back and say, but I, despite it all, I am actually able to even wonder about this. Isn't this a fascinating experience we're having here?
That's a miracle in itself.
Getting a little blown away, you know, so it is really remarkable. And here I am having this conversation with this woman, you know, who doesn't believe in any kind of designer or intelligence or supernatural at all. But we're a little bit having a love fest about consciousness in a very, very similar way. I'd say in that way, we're much more similar than we are dissimilar. And so the human experience is just one that I'm just endlessly fascinated with. And that's part of vocation too, in the sense that, you know, here we are, especially in spiritual direction, you know, I think, Lori, that you and I are the same, and that's how we journey with people, that we're saying and staying with people, or in the sense that we're saying, whatever it is that God is doing with you, alongside you, is this unfolding vocation that you may just know a piece of, or maybe it won't totally unfold in a sense that you were expecting. But that this is a pretty wild ride.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And usually surprises are the norm. But I don't know.
Yeah.
And so in your case of your spiritual director, you do have a spiritual director right now, right?
Uh-huh.
And has your spiritual director worked with you in terms of vocation?
Oh, yes, that comes up quite a lot. I think we just kind of spend a lot of time with these questions and talking to God about them. And, you know, and I feel like so far I've been kind of a downer in this topic, but I just want to say I feel very much at peace, even in this tension of wrestling with these questions. I am actually really enjoying delving into these questions personally and wrestling with them and figuring out, what do I really believe and what do I believe is true about God? I feel like this season is a gift to me to wrestle with these questions. Mm. So, you know, I don't want to mislead anyone in feeling like, oh, I'm just so depressed about all this. I'm actually really enjoying these questions and thinking about vocation and what that means. And, you know, it's not always comfortable, but I'm enjoying it. So I think the advice, I guess, or the comment that has been coming to me more and more from other spiritual directors and my own spiritual director and friends who are close to me, is to really pay attention, like you've been saying, Lisa, to really pay attention to those things that bring us joy and life. And I was talking to a group of spiritual directors the other day, and they just reflected back to me, wow, you just totally lit up when you talked about sitting with people in spiritual direction and leading this retreat. And they were like, your whole demeanor changed and you just lit up. And I was like, yeah, it's like the greatest joy in my life. Yeah. But will God let me do that? as if, you know, if I want to work, it's got to be hard and painful and unenjoyable. Yeah. And that was kind of a new realization to me, that I had held on to that belief that work must be hard and painful and not enjoyable. Mm. And so that was a light bulb moment for me. And it's like, wow, delight yourself in the Lord. Mm. and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I feel like this work that brings me so much joy is delighting in God. And so I don't know, that was a piece of hope that was pretty exciting to me in these last few days, that I feel like I'm on the right track somehow. I just don't know what it looks like.
Yeah. So you really find your vocation is certainly in the direction, in spiritual direction, and sitting with people and journeying with them. And yes. And probably on the horizon in some form that's going to come into greater focus and greater depth and meaning. But you're probably, but you don't exactly know how, right?
Right. That's right. Yeah. And it would be great if an element of that could somehow be, you know, a part of a paying job, because I do need to eventually get a job. But I'm, you know, I'm sitting with that, you know, maybe this joy-filled peace will just always be outside of a paying job for me. And that joy-filled peace will be my vocation. And then my paying job may be, you know, just a whatever. So, but I don't want to shortchange myself or shortchange God and what he can direct me to. I don't want to just settle for whatever if this is an opportunity for me to really move toward something that really fits me in an interesting way.
Yeah. I think sometimes we make up our minds, and you know, we run out ahead sometimes, and we make up our minds and not just sit with it.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes. Which I have done plenty of times.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like a human thing. That's not a Lori thing. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just hard to not know the future. And we're like, but I want to know now, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess when I was considering, so one of the things I'm joining with a few other people, including James Prescott, who's a podcaster, and we're trying to do this thing called syncreate, like synchronize, S-Y-N, and then the word create. And the focus for January is vocation and reimagining vocation and trying to keep the topic going in January and inviting other people to share what their ideas are of it and how they see it coming out in their lives. And, you know, that there isn't just one answer to what that looks like. And for everybody, it's going to be different. And I think that sometimes we get our head around a concept and think it's got to look just this one way. Like some people think vocation means you're in a church or something, you know, you're a
right,
pastor.
Right.
Well, it's not, it obviously isn't just that, you know, so it is, right. It is good to explore what vocation means anew in our own lives. In 2016, it's probably going to be, it could very well be very different than it was in 2015. And I kind of want to push myself to explore that for myself, you know, in a new way. And I think it's nice when a new year comes, you get a chance to like purposefully hit a reset button and be like, okay, I want to examine everything again. I want to see, you know, am I looking at things does everything need a little bit of a refresh? Does everything need a little bit of a reexamination? Have I been doing, you know, have I been doing things and they've gotten stale? And do you tend to do that, like review the old year and set some new courses, or how do you tend to deal with the new year coming in?
Yeah, I love the new year, and I used to really do a very intentional review of the year. I didn't do that last year, and I'll probably do that this year. But what I have done in the last probably 7 or 8 years is each January I write out a list of goals for the year, or desires, or you know, things that I hope for or whatever in the new year in different categories. And it's kind of complicated this process, but I got it from this little book, which is slightly cheesy, but the title is The On Purpose Person. And basically you take different categories of your life, like relationships, work, finances, mental, physical, things like that. And you just kind of, you just brainstorm just as fast as you can, write out all the things that you want in those areas, and not filtering out anything, but just what do you want? What's your desire for your physical health or your mental health, your relationships? Mm-hmm. What do you want? And for me, that's been really helpful, mm-hmm. To actually articulate what I want. Mm-hmm. And then you filter those down, those wants, to maybe your top three in each category. Mm-hmm. And then you filter those down to your top goal, your top dream in each category. And that's your goal list for the year. And as you knock them out, you can bring in goal number two in that category. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense, but for me, that was helpful to just have something to aim for in the coming year, and how fulfilling it is to look back at the past year and see, wow, I accomplished all this stuff that I've wanted to do for years, but I never made it priority because it wasn't really on my radar. Yeah. And now because it was on my radar, well, now I'm a spiritual director. That's something I've wanted to do for a long time. And I have a podcast. That's something I've wanted to do. And, you know, I have a more, and this is trivial, but I have a more intentional, refined wardrobe. But that's something that has always driven me crazy. I've always hated my clothes. But because that was like on my radar, and I don't know how long it took to really focus, but now I'm at peace with my clothing, which sounds silly, but it really has brought peace into my life. Mm. And you know, in relationships, I've made it a goal to meet with friends once a week, for coffee. And, in me, an introvert, I need to make that, you know, a priority and keep that on my radar, or else weeks will go by and I won't get together with my friends. So anyway, that's kind of my process at the end of the year, beginning of the year. And I love it. I'm a big list maker, and I love writing out my goals and dreams, whether or not they happen, you know. So yeah, it's quite fun for me. I enjoy that process.
Yeah, well, that actually sounds like a really good tool. And I was always really anti lists and planning in those ways because I felt it was very confining. But what happened to me, though, is that so many things piled up, so many responsibilities piled up, there was no way I could do things unless I got extremely organized. And so I just ran out of like mental space, mental RAM to do it. Mm-hmm. And then I found the beauty in all of that, in that type of organizing. Yeah. And so I realized that it was like a productivity hack to do that type of planning. And it just could save me so much time. And so even though it's not like I live for lists or something, I realize that I can save hours and hours of time a week if I make certain lists. And so I'm like, well, that's a no-brainer. Yeah. That's like, I will just be frazzled because I've got a lot of different jobs and collaborations that I'm working on. And so if I expect to not let anybody down, I really need to keep all those things on paper, on the screen in front of me, and with bullet points, everything. That's also a good, that's a really good resource. And it's neat to hear that it worked for you to be able to accomplish your goals that way.
Yeah. It's very satisfying in that way. Yeah. Another little tool that has been helpful to me is the Pomodoro method. Have you heard of this?
Oh, tell me more.
Well, okay, so this is something I've discovered just recently because I relate to what you just said, that you have your hands in a lot of different areas. And to me, I feel like I'm so spread out with so many different projects that I'm involved in, it's hard to keep them all straight and to keep things moving forward. So this Pomodoro method is actually quite simple. And I don't know why that name, but basically you take 30 minutes and you spend 20 minutes of just total focused attention on a single project. And that means no email, no Facebook, no text, no nothing, no, you know, maybe music if that helps you focus, but you just focus for 20 minutes and then you take a 10-minute break. And as long as you stay with that system, you can get a lot done. I've been really surprised. And there's a tool online. I'll have to send it to you after this. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a to-do list that also times you so that it'll let you know when it's time for a break and helps you focus on one project, one item on your to-do list for 20 minutes and then take your 10-minute break. So I don't know about you, but I work very distracted. Email. Oh, there's text. Oh, somebody needs my attention or somebody called. And so while I say that I'm working on one project, I'm really not all that focused. And then if I am focused on something, I don't take breaks. I just kind of power away for a couple hours and then I'm completely exhausted for the rest of the day. And so these built-in 10-minute breaks, they're refreshing and I have my mental energy stays higher throughout the day. So I find that really, and I feel like that's really honoring of how humans are meant to operate. Actually, absolutely. You know, we're not supposed to just sit in front of a computer for hours and hours without any breaks.
Absolutely.
So, so anyway, that's been helpful to me. I find when I just am completely overwhelmed, I just go back to the Pomodoro method and I crank out work it's been really effective for me.
Yeah, there is an app actually that will turn off everything so you won't get interrupted in it. I'll look it up and add it to the show notes. I want to say it's called free app or something like that, where it will sort of like put everything else in jail, basically, and not let it bother you. I have two little tricks that I have to do too, because what I'll do is I actually think that might be some of the reason why I started getting like really serious migraines, because I wasn't getting enough rest with my eyes, and I think I was getting like photosensitivity that was triggering some migraines. But I do two different hacks. One is that I drink a really, really big glass of water before I work so that I know I'll have to go to the bathroom. And then, so I will like, I have to go. And then the other one is that I have an old enough computer that it will run out of juice. And so I won't plug in, so that I know that once my computer runs out of juice, I'm forced to plug in somewhere. And that I know that if I have to plug in, if my computer needs to recharge, then so do I. So it's like, okay, I ran out of juice. So I need some too. So then I'll go like, okay, I have to get a snack and I have to like recharge. And so it's kind of like if I'm out of power, I'm out of power. So it's like I have to set these silly little tricks in to force myself. You know, it's really, I suppose it's stupid tricks, but it's almost like if I don't do that, I will do these workarounds that will be very counterproductive to my health.
Yep. Absolutely.
And sometimes we just have to trick ourselves into better behavior. Yes.
I agree. Hey, I found that app or that website that works with this method. It's kabanflow.com. So it's kabanflow.com. Kanban, not Kaban, kanbanflow.com. And so there's a timer and you can do all sorts of to-do lists and projects. And so it's kind of it's free and everything is right there that's been helpful for me too.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for just planning out your day in a way that will make sense so that when you're doing your work, it feels most meaningful too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And right. then you're not going in 100 different directions, because I think that that's the thing. If you're working on, say, your podcast or writing a book or preparing something for spiritual direction or meeting with somebody, that if you're pulled 15 different ways and, you know, okay, putting out a Twitter thing here, putting out a, you know, blog here, putting out Facebook stuff here, by the end, and you feel like yeah. you don't know what you've done, you do feel frazzled, and you do feel like it wasn't meaningful. And it's there's a yeah. real psychological weirdness going on there where you, it just doesn't work. And I don't know, I'm sure there's a great jargon term that I'm not able to access, yeah. but there's something different about if you work in a certain way, you will feel like you're more connected with your vocation than if you work in sort of the ordinary, haphazard, default way.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right.
So I guess it's just kind of having the discipline to, you know, care for yourself and work in sort of a, maybe just work like a grown up. I'm not even sure what it is, but it's part of planning your day, but kind of respecting yourself to work in a certain manner that will give yourself the kind of peace and wholeness that really mm-hmm. you deserve, but that will also in the end give yeah. the most to others too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
So this has been fun. We could probably wrap it up, but are there any resources that you think people would help people find out more about vocation that we didn't already mention?
Well, I would just go back to Barbara Brown Taylor's book was really good. It has a wonderful chapter on vocation. The book is An Altar in the World, and that's been really helpful to me to help me think through vocation. And then also Parker Palmer's book, Listen to Your Life. Mm. That's a great book that I plan to revisit soon. Mm. An excellent book about vocation and how we can listen to those things that bring us joy. Mm. In our lives.
That's great. And hopefully we'll have you back on to talk maybe about what the spiritual exercises of Ignatius are, maybe later on. I know great. In February, I'm going to try to have the theme of reimagining repentance. And so maybe religious repentance, but maybe other ways of seeing repentance and what that could look like in our lives. And so every month I'm going to try to do a different sort of theme, and whether all of my podcast guests aren't going to necessarily talk about all those things all the time, but probably we'll ask different people at different times, what do you think about this? And so I might have you back to ask a few questions about that too, if you are willing.
Great.
And I'll send you questions ahead of time as well, so it would be fun.
Excellent.
Yeah,
yeah.
Always a treat to have you on.
Thank you, Lisa. This was fun.
Yes, and so I wish you a very blessed Christmas and a really fantastic 2016.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
Show notes for this episode can be found at sparkmymuse.com. There you'll find details for websites and people and books mentioned in this episode, and sometimes you'll find photos and videos too. Please stop by and check it out.